What's up, everyone? Chris Manning here from the Locked On Cavs podcast with my co-host, Evan Damerl. Segment one of today's show, Darius Garland got a max contract. What do we think of it? Segment two, the cap implications of Garland's extension going forward, and slash, what does he mean as a guy? And segment three, what this sets up as far as business for the Cavs as things get done. Also, I want to thank you for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every day. Remember, we are free and available wherever you get your podcasts.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. That's BetOnline, where the game starts. I'm Chris Manning, covering the Cavs and the NBA for places like Diamond Up Rocks and SB Nation's Fear the Sword. My co-host is Evan Damerl, primarily at Facebook's Right Down. You could check out his story on a professional Quidditch team in Cleveland today over on that platform. Evan, today we're going to talk about Darius Garland for all three segments. We're going to do a second kind of, this is going to be like July 5.1. We're going to do July, technically it's July 6, but July 5.2, talking about Ricky Rubio, Raul Neto, and Robin Lopez. So stay tuned for that. The big news, of course, though, from the weekend is Darius Garland. He got absolutely paid with a five-year, $193 million extension that could jump to $213 million based on all NBA escalators. Evan, I already talked about this. I did a live show on Saturday.
I talked about those things. It was good.
Yeah. Shouts to me for having a coherent brain talking for 30 minutes. That was hard. But I'm going to turn this over to you first. So you see Darius Garland gets this extension, full 5 years, no options, the escalators, all of that. What do you make of this deal for Garland, and what do you make of this deal for the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Well, for the Cleveland Cavaliers, just in regards to Darius Garland, you're fully confident that he is going to be your point guard of the future if you're the Cavs. You're not showing too much concern that this year three dramatic leap that he took isn't just a flash in the pan. This is just more of what's to come. And you are fully confident in your player development and just like the pieces you're putting together and surrounding him with. And I think it's smart to lock up Garland the offseason after you lock up Jared Allen. Granted, we'll be 2 years into Allen's extension when Garland's extension kicks in. And Allen will likely sign another deal with the Cavs when we get to that point when Evan Mobley's extension realistically kicks in as well. So I just think it's intelligent on the Cavs' part to just make sure their key guys are locked in and taken care of. We'll be talking about it in 5.2. Just the being born in the USA, as Bruce Springsteen screams into a microphone, just kind of delayed the episodes for us a little bit. But
shout out to Bruce Springsteen, a king.
The most anti-patriotic song that gets played at every American event. But either way, I think it's a smart move for the Cavs. You and I have heard this a lot. I've reported it quite a bit. You've said it quite a bit too. Like I wasn't surprised when it was announced that he would be signing a max contract extension. I think just the terms and the escalators that they put in place are what they're trying to iron out, just so they could have him jump to that. I think it's interesting to think, like, will he be super max eligible if he makes two all NBA first, second, or third teams, or gets MVP honors, or like there's other escalators as well in this contract too that could really jump things up for Garland and the Cavs. But yeah, this just it makes a lot of sense if you're Cleveland to lock this guy up. Don't mess around with it a little bit. Create a little less uncertainty heading into the next offseason as well, just so you can focus maybe on a kid from Akron if you really want to keep your books clean enough. But at this point, it makes absolute sense. The Cavs haven't had a franchise guard or lead franchise guard since Kyrie Irving, and that was in 2011, around that time when he was drafted. So it's a good change of pace for the Cavs, and it's a good place to be. And it's still wild to think that Garland is still in his early 20s, and there's just only room to grow. And I think that's the crystallization of this extension, is he's so young but so talented, and there's still so much more room for him to grow into his ability as an NBA player.
Yeah, Darius Garland is 22. He just completed his third year in the NBA. He is coming off of his first All-Star season where his numbers basically across the board went up. With this contract, I think the clear bet is that you're going to get the best of Darius Garland as you go forward, then he's going to keep getting better. We'll talk about maybe what that looks like in the next segment. But like you're betting that like you have him in the last year of his rookie deal next year, his extension kicks in the year after that. You functionally have him under team control. You're going to pay him very well for that, but he's under team control for 6 years. That is like absolutely when you're going to get Garland from ages 23, when he's 22 now, he'll be 23 sometime later this year, through like 28, 29. Like you're getting absolutely theoretically prime Darius Garland years on this contract with his extension. And for how good he looked last year, for the level he took, for how much better he seems to make guys, like this was really a no-brainer. I could understand like if there's a little bit of sticker shock with seeing $193 million. I can understand that. Like it's a lot of money. Like this isn't like, you know, like this is the cheaper of like some of the super maxes that get out there and stuff, but like this is still a lot of money.
Friend. This is just a rookie scale.
No, I know. But in terms of like the amount of like other money that is out there for other guys, this isn't like as like intense as some of the other extensions we've seen this summer. It is still a lot of money, and you're betting on him getting
too. Go ahead though.
Okay, hold on. But you're betting on him continuing, I think, to get better from here. If next year is the baseline of what he's gonna do and he adds more and he grows as Evan Mobley grows, and you keep pushing this up, this is the kind of contract you're betting on, saying this is a guy that maybe not even just next year, but the year after that, this is going to be a guy that can help us win a lot of basketball games. That is clearly the bet to me with this contract.
So it's a little bit of – I agree with everything you said, but this is a little devil's advocate because there is, like you said, a lot of sticker shock value. But if you were the Cleveland Cavaliers, would you feel more comfortable signing Darius Garland to this type of extension or being like the New Orleans Pelicans who slapped it on Zion Williamson, who hasn't played in a season, who got the same exact contract? Like, yes, Ja Morant made absolute sense. If you redrafted this draft, there's in our conversation where Ja goes first over Zion, but there's a lot of that. But do you feel more comfortable paying Garland this type of money, or would you still say, like, you know what, Zion? Like, that's my other counter argument. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of sticker shock, but like guys like Zion got paid too, and Zion hasn't played in a full season.
I mean, yeah, but I think like Zion's production and you're betting on what he's done,
to be fair to Zion, like his sophomore year production was absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Evan, for me, if I'm going to look at like what the other passes could have played out is, like, the Cavs, in theory, could have, like, tried to, like, maximize their flexibility next summer and not do it till next summer.
Yeah, they could, but I also just, like, I don't think you want to mess around with a guy you arguably consider, like, the face or face, one of the three faces or pillars of your franchise. You take care of this and wrap it up ASAP.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I think, like, if they had gone that other route, you're creating, like, you could have been like, look, we're going to, this to me is this isn't like the top three concerns of this, but it's like, it doesn't like really matter that much. But like, you could have been like, you know, we need to, next summer is going to be our maximum window. We're going to be like, run this out a little bit. And they kind of were just like, you know what, like, we are just going to decide, we'll just do this now. And I think that is the right call, to your point. Like, I think you just take care of this stuff and you are not like, what they are doing with this, as much as like they're betting on Garland, is they're betting on the guys they have. Mm-hmm. They're betting on him. They're betting on Evan Mobley. They're betting on Jared Allen. They're betting on, you know, the guys that they're going to draft, bring in a free agency. Yeah. You're betting on the stuff you have more than the specter of someone coming back or something new to me. Like, I think that, like, that I don't want to say his name because it's just, like, not really, it takes away from the moment here. But, like, there is something to be said that this is, for the first time, it feels like, in forever, shout out to the movie Frozen, you are in a position where you are trying to maximize what is about your franchise and what you've done than trying to live in the past. And that, to me, this contract, it being the largest in franchise history, it being something you're betting on a guy you drafted 3 years ago and that made your All-Star team last year and was really the focal point of your team last year in a lot of ways, you are actually turning a page here and saying, look, we are actually moving with these guys. This is our center. This is what we're going with. And that to me is a very exciting place to consider that the Cavs are adding and to get to cover what this process is going to look like as we go forward.
Yeah, I think that's a really succinct and well thought out way to put it. And I talked with Mac Robinson about this on July 4th when he asked me on the radio, and it sticks to me that Jared Allen always said, like, this Cavs group does take pride in making the playoffs with one king from Akron, but it's the first time since the 97-98 season, so before Mac was born, because Mac is like 5 years old. But there is something to it, and yeah, you just don't mess around. You just lock this guy up, and It's a smart move by the Cavs. Like, I was beating this once my reservations about Garland, because I'll fully admit, like, I had my reservations about signing Garland necessarily to a max level extension or something hefty just based on his freshman and sophomore year productions. But with how sharp and how composed and how well put together he looked on the floor, and yeah, there's still some injury concerns associated with him, but I think he'll get that with any player. I felt more comfortable doing it because there was clearly a spark there that I haven't felt at the lead guard position from Cleveland until, again, Kyrie Irving was under at the point for the Cavs. Like, that's the last time I felt a spark where the Cavs have a franchise lead guard on their roster.
Yeah, all right. After the break, we're going to continue talking about Garland and look at what him is as one of your lead guys, one of your highest paid franchise guys, really means, and I think why we kind of view this as a pretty reasonable thing for the Cavs to do, and really a smart thing for them to do, and we'll talk about that. But first, going to tell everyone about our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's Major League Baseball season and more. BetOnline is your continued source for your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. It's the fastest and easiest way, that is BetOnline.net, to check in all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. For instance, Luka Doncic is the betting favorite for MVP next year in the NBA at plus 425, while Joel Embiid is plus 700 and Giannis Antetokounmpo is plus 760. If you're feeling frisky and want to bet a Cav, Darius Garland has the best odds on that list of any Cav at plus 6,600, which is long odds, but odds. All right, that's BetOnline. That's where the game starts. Check them out today. All right, if you want a great second listen today, go check out Locked On Browns or go check out Locked On Guardians. Support your other Cleveland shows. But we're here on Locked On Cavs. I'm Chris Manning. That is Evan Damerill. Evan, let's look at what Darius Garland means as a guy. As a guy you're committing this money to, devoting a lot of cap space to, building with. I think the best case for him as far as why you do this and what makes him special is that I think he makes other guys around him better. I think the best way to view this too is look at how he passes. Mm-hmm. Look at how he plays with the ball in his hands. He does cover, I think, for different guys with his skill set offensively. I think he's workable and bendable enough in different ways, and I think ways we totally didn't see as much last year once Sexton and Rubio went down. But I think the best thing about him is that this is a guy that is making others around him better with his passing, setting them up in important spots. And I think it's like he allows you to assume he's – I think you can hope going forward that because of what he is as a passer, as a facilitator, he's going to be a guy that as Mobley maybe grows in that role as well, he's the kind of guy that's going to allow you to be a little more creative with the kind of guys you have around him, that he's going to add a little bit to them if they can also cover up for some of his deficiencies and make his life easier, especially on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah, I do think that if you add connector pieces, as you put it, that'll make Garland's life a heck of a lot easier long term. I think the way they're going to be utilizing it, which I Abaji during summer league, will be just kind of interesting to look at to see where he's at passing wise, because they're kind of looking at him to make some hockey assist either as a slasher or just spacing out on the floor in general and just making the right reads and right passes. And I think that'll make Garland's life a lot easier. Obviously, with Boston having now Malcolm Brogdon and Derek White, with while their health concerns with Brogdon, like, that's another guy I'd think of too. But you're absolutely right that Garland makes his teammates better, and I think it, like you said, throughout the season, just made his people around him better. Like, Moses Brown is usually my example of this, where Moses Brown was a dude who's floating around in the G League / back ends of rotations with Dallas for a while, and then he comes in and looks like a serviceable starting center for the Cavs because Darius Garland is working with him in real time in the pick and roll and finding him easy looks through whether through lobs or through just cutoffs and just dump off passes in general, just to make Brown's life a little bit easier. So then he hustles on defense as well, just to keep him engaged on both ends. But it really crystallized for me when Garland was dealing with his back problems, and we had to watch Kevin Pangos play. We had to watch Rajon Rondo start, and then the Cavs had no support behind him. But like, there is such a steep drop of, yes, like having Rubio out there, like the Cavs were able to find a semblance of balance because Rubio just really was at a frenetic, out of this world pace at that point in his season still. But when Garland was down, and obviously Rubio was down too, so just remove his factor as well, but like, you were watching like Pangos, you're watching Rubio, you're watching Nembhard play, like, or sorry, not Nembhard, Goodwin play, and it really crystallized for me, like, yeah, Darius Garland is a high impact. He is Cleveland's most valuable player, arguably, because he is the conductor of this offense. He's the one who gets Jared Allen and Evan Mobley going. He's the one who is able to get Larry Markkanen involved, and he can make Kevin Love's life easier. And, like, yes, he didn't have the Jetty Osmond factor that Ricky Rubio may have had, but, like, Osmond's life looked easier with Garland on the floor than without him. And then there's just, like, so many different pieces in play where it's Nash-esque almost, where, like, you watch Steve Nash with those 7 seconds or less Suns, where, like, the offense just clicks differently when Darius Garland is available versus when he isn't. And it's noticeably different where the Cavs have to really play, like, those ugly games and grind things out versus things look a little bit more composed and at times dynamic when he's playing offense for the Cavs.
Yeah, I think the other bet, Evan, you're making here for the Cavs is that he's going to get better.
Yeah, that's...
like, he's 22. Oh yeah,
that's what we talked about at the top, is he's so young signing this extension. Yeah.
He's 22. He's not going to be 23 until January. This is a guy that was born in the year 2000, okay? Like, I can't exactly say either, like, what I feel exactly he is going to get better at. This is the kind of thing I think if we're going to, like, put a pin in this conversation a little bit and, like, come back to it. This is, like, one of those things I'd want to ask him at Media Day and, like, see what he spent his offseason working on and, like, and kind of see what, like, okay, he's, like, I'm identifying, like, is it my floater? Is it, like, you know, my strength to hold them on defense? But, like, what is it that he's really zeroing in on to improve in the offseason? Like, what is, like, the focus there? But I think there's more to come here. And I think the other part of it, like, I think last year we could look back, Evan, mm-hmm. and think last year was the leap from, like, we're not sure how good he really is to, like, this guy's an all-star, yeah. right?
Yeah.
And, like, top 10's vision. I don't know if we're going to get another leap that is that seismic, but, like, I think I would expect more incremental growth from Garland as we're going forward, especially if the burden that he's asked to carry, if the load he's asked to carry isn't as consistently large as it was last year when things kind of broke down and they didn't have the infrastructure and Mobley wasn't ready for all of that yet. Like,
J.B. Bickerstaff quoting Samwise Gamgee to Darius saying, share the load.
Well, but it's like, think about, like, Darius is a guy that could, like, spot up off ball.
Yeah.
Like, he's a guy that should do that, and, like, you can do stuff with him there to, like,
with him give off people ball with his gravity and theoretical threat from the perimeter. Like, that's a way to really unlock this offense a bit too.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see, like, how they decide to do some of that mm-hmm. and, like, what that looks like. If that's, like, a wrinkle on offense, to see how they evolve it. Because, like, I don't think no one is ever going to be, like, Curry off ball, obviously. But, yeah, like, does he, like...
Or even
But they would, like, set Trey some backstreets for Garland, like, last year.
You maybe monitor how Atlanta uses DeJounte and Trey together in sets, or, like, maybe they play Trey off ball. Like, you have to respect him from the perimeter. And, like, let's say Rubio in theory is healthy and you can put some semblance of what the Hawks are trying to do. Obviously not a one-to-one binary comparison, but there's something there where, like, you have Rubio be the primary initiator of offensive sets, and then you let Garland just be the guy who runs off picks and screens, lets him be a motion shooter. Like, that could do some stuff for the Cavs, especially for their bigs who have to have players that go out to the perimeter and maybe defend Darius a little bit more, because maybe that's part of his off-season growth, is, like, learning how to handle the physicality and grind of an 82-game season better, too, because there's probably going to be moments like that where defenses zero in on him.
Yeah, I think some of the – if you can get to a spot where, like, his malleability, his ability to play off ball and do different stuff on offense and be effective without the ball in his hands – that's a way just to lessen his load as we're going through an 82-game season, right? Like, you don't want him to be, especially as, like, we get not really so much to me next year, but, like, the year after that and the year after. You want to, like, kind of make sure he's in a position where you're helping him maintain a level of play into the playoffs, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is a marathon. This is not a sprint. And I think you want to keep Garland as fresh as possible, as healthy as possible, as we're kind of navigating this, if you're the Cavs, just because, like, you need him. It was very clear last year that they absolutely needed him to just, like, more or less, like, function at a competent level on offense, especially after Rubio went down. Like, I think as you go forward, depending on what happens with LeVert and Sexton and how Mobley develops and all that stuff, like, you have some of those same concerns, I think, going forward. But I think keeping him fresh is going to be a thing. But I think if you're, again, to just emphasize this point before we go into break, there's just, like, a lot of room. There's just a lot of, I think, room to believe here that, like, this is – last year was, like, not the apex for Garland, even if it is not a linear shooting up to the top all-NBA kind of thing right away. Like, and that those spots are really competitive. Mm-hmm. this is a guy who's going to be really good, should be in contention for All-Star games, is one of the best, like, 10 guys in his position already. Like, this guy's, like, he's a star. And yeah. I don't think there's no
way to diminish the shine of his star, and it's still going to be rising. And that's the, kind of the exciting thing about covering this team, and especially covering Darius in general, is we don't know what his apex certainly is yet, because we're still pretty early into his NBA career, and he still has so much room to grow into. And also, again, I still remember when a scout tells me that if Garland played his full season at Vanderbilt, he could have given Ja a run for his money as the best point guard in this draft class, at least heading into the pre-draft process. Granted, they're dramatically different players just in terms of just how they play. But the Cavs got a good one at five. And I think I had my reservations when they drafted him fifth overall many moons ago when they had Sexton already on the roster. But clearly, that's why I'm hosting this podcast with Chris and not working in the NBA front office.
Yeah. All right. After the break, we're going to talk about the cap implications.
For anything in the world.
After the break, we're going to talk about the cap side of this. There's just a little bit of money stuff to hit on here. I did some vague math to talk about some of this
Chris was clicking his abacus together. He muted his mic and he's like, "Yes."
No, I don't own an abacus and never will. But Evan's first going to talk about our friends at Rock Auto.
This episode of Locked On Cavs is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why are often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? The best thing is, Rock Auto is also a family business, serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and their prices are reliably low and are for every customer. So, go explore Rock Auto's easy-to-use website today and find the solutions for your auto parts needs. And just seriously, folks, go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On, and there, how did you hear about this box and the movie that we sent you? Amazing selection, reliable low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out today at rockauto.com.
All right, back here in Lockdown Cavs, I'm Chris Manning, that's Evan Damerel. All right, Evan, so here's the numbers on the Garland extension for those that maybe didn't see it. It's going to be $33.3 million the year it kicks in, which is not this upcoming season. It is the year after, mm-hmm. So the 2023-2024 season. $35.9 in year two. 38.6 in year 3, 41.2 in year 4, 43.9 in year 5. If he makes All-NBA, 39.9 in year 1, 43.1 in year 2, 46.3 in year 3, 49.5 in year 4, and 52.7 year 5. The reporting I've seen and asking about it is he has to make All-NBA next season for this stuff to kick.
Folks, I wasn't rolling my eyes at Chris sharing those numbers. It's just, that's so 50, that's half a Billy. Or half a hundred million, sorry, excuse
it's
me.
Yeah, it's not
my
half
mind,
a million.
My mind is just, like, fried today. It's the post-born in the USA blues I have. But, like, over half a hundred million is so much money, and I wouldn't know what to do with myself at entering my, like, age 27 year of existence.
I would not be hosting a podcast today that much.
Well, I would for fun. I'd be like, you know what? I'm rich. Actually, you know what, Chris? We do know what that's like. So that looks like 1/100th of our respective bank accounts right now. So,
yeah, totally true. Okay, so the next year the cap is currently that the year this kicks in, this the cap is currently projected at $129.7 million. So, Evan, with nine guys that season, I it's $101 million committed to nine guys for that season as of right now. Mm-hmm. Garland, those nine guys are Garland, Mobley, Allen, Lowry, Markkanen, Isaac Okoro, Ochai Agbaji. I'm assuming Lamar Stevens and Dean Wade, who are not necessarily guaranteed, but like on very cheap contracts and are solid enough where you think you might keep them. Yeah. And Ricky Rubio. This doesn't that figure does not include the Kevin Love cap hold, the Caris LeVert cap hold. It assumes Dylan Windler's qualifying offer is not issued, and it assumes Jetty Osman's non-guaranteed. Obviously, like Raul Neto and Robin Lopez are just on one-year contracts. So you go into next summer, depending on if that cap figure goes up or down or whatever, that's $28 million in space plus the tax line and the if you go to the apron and sign and trade, all that stuff. Like, some of the exact figures...
That number also changes if they do sign Colin Sexton to an extension between now and when people listen to this episode, mind you.
That was, yeah, that's where I was going to. So you have the Sexton thing to figure out. That would cut into that $28 million. But you look at next summer, and whether, like, Sexton, again, could cut into that, all that stuff. Next summer is, like, theoretically the one-year summer where you could, like, really make a move. Mobley will be extension eligible after that season. That'll be after his third year. He'll be extension eligible, so you're already kind of planning for him. Mm-hmm. You could do some stuff where you try to take one-year things and punt while Mobley's still in a rookie deal and figure something out later. But with the Love stuff coming off the books, with LeVert's money coming off the books, like, you kind of have a summer next year where, like, there is maybe some flexibility there. And Garland's extension, like, if it goes up in year one, like, that cuts into that, obviously, as well. And that could complicate things a little bit, too. But, like, next summer is kind of one of the last summers the Cavs really theoretically could have some cap space. Now that they've gone down the set, if this is not a downside. You just pay your good players, mm-hmm. and you work with your good players, and you develop your really good players when you get them in the draft and they're young. But this is going to be, like, the thing we're looking at here is that, like, as we go forward here with Garland, with Mobley, with Allen, with what else they do, you're not going to have a limitless funds going forward. And the Cavs haven't really because of the Kevin Love stuff and whatever. But next summer is theoretically one of the last summers they could have cap space to do stuff.
Full aside, it is fascinating that the Cavs are able to navigate this whole situation with Kevin Love's contract and somehow fulfill a team that was almost playoff caliber last year. But to your point, I think just having Garland, Mobley, and Allen under contract is the most important thing. Like you said, they're probably planning for the Mobley extension, and let's just assume at this point it's the same exact extension. Garland just signed a full-scale rookie max extension.
It'll be bigger because of the numbers and stuff. His draft class is lighter.
The numbers will be different, but it'll be a mammoth amount of money where it's, the Cavs will then have two guys on five-year rookie max extensions that can fill your roster at one time. So, like, the Cavs are tapped out in that avenue as well. But that's a good thing because you drafted well and you're developing players well, and they also want to stay with you for the long haul. But like you said, they have about 20 before they sign Sexton to an extension. They have $28.7 million in money, just depending on how the Garland contract shakes out too. You have to consider signing Isaac Okoro to an extension as well, because he too is extension eligible next offseason. The Lauri Markkanen factor will be interesting because the last year of his deal will be non-guaranteed, and I believe he'd have 2 years left, or not fully guaranteed. And I think he'd be on entering the third of his last four-year deal at that point, so that's definitely something worth watching. He could be a trade chip. Abaji is a cheaper cost-controlled talent. I think that's the thing you really need to watch there. Realistically, the Cavs won't have a first-round pick, so they don't need to be worrying about adding that salary to the fold. I don't have their second-rounders in front of me next year, but maybe that's just an avenue, or maybe it's not a draft-and-stash situation, but maybe you look at guys on two-way deals and you can convert Isaiah Mobley into a cheaper backup big option if he's able to properly develop and grow with either with you as the Cavs or with the Charge, and then you just kind of keep that pipeline going too. There's a lot of interesting avenues, like you said, that the Cavs could pursue, but I think just the most paramount thing here is you have these three guys wrapped up, and then you just have to be, I don't want to say tread lightly, but you need to be mindful of what the future holds, so don't be throwing a ton of money at a free agent that offseason. I mean, granted, like, if LeBron does say he wants to come back, I think maybe you try to come to terms with that and make it work, but
You said his name, Evan. He's Candyman. He's gonna get you now.
That's okay. If LeBron gets me and, like, adopts me as, like, his third son, that's pretty sick. I think I'd have a pretty good quality of life. I'd have AC in my house right now. But other than that, you just have to navigate this carefully. Like, you were able to navigate the pretty much an albatross of the Kevin Love contract. Like, yeah, he performed well last year, but he was paid so much more money than he actually absolutely needed to be. But you have to navigate that, see if you can bring him back on a reasonable cost control deal, because I think ideally if you're the Cavs in Love at this point, you want to just let him ride out the rest of his career with Cleveland. But again, we'll see what happens there. But there's a lot of interesting avenues and paths. And like, I had somebody ask me this when Garland signed this extension on Twitter. I said, let's just look at it this way. You're basically plugging and playing at this point, where you're pulling Kevin Love's figure off your cap sheet and just putting Garland's contract in its place. That's just kind of how I look at it. But now the Cavs have a little bit more flexibility on the back end because they have so many dudes coming off their books at the time as well.
Yeah, it's not really like they're, like, the other difference, I think, is, like, number one, Garland is on his way up, and I think, like, as much as
I'm not saying the quality of the player. I'm just saying the numerical number you attach to this player. Just like, it would be looking just like a cap sheet in general.
Yeah, but in terms of, like, how they work, like, one is going up as you're hoping the player goes up. The other one was, like, you know, like, the optics of it were,
but also
I think, tricky.
The optics of Garland's extension is also kind of nice because there is an expected, like, TV money bump within the next 2 years, too.
Sure, so. But, like, I mean, you... Yeah, whatever about that. Like, rich people can pay lots of money for things. I don't, like, honestly, like,
I don't lose any
the only
sleep
reason we ever talk about, like,
over this.
Yeah, they will be fine. Like, they can, like, the thing with the tax is, like, no one cares about it because, like, rich people can probably pay it. It's just, like, I understand not lighting money on fire for a team that maybe isn't going to win the title. Mm-hmm. I understand that if, like, this is a business. I get that. I think the most important part about this is, like, that's the bow on this is that, like, you have Darius Garland under team control for 6 years. He is signed as a Cleveland Cavaliers basketball player for 6 seasons going forward, right? Jared Allen just completed year one of his 5-year deal, so he has 4 years left on his deal. Evan Mobley is just in year two. You have those three guys as the focal point of what you're building here, and they're all like 23, 24 and under. Evan Mobley, again, just getting started. Darius Garland's really just in year four. Like, Mobley's in year two. You have such a strong base here that it gives you, I think, a lot of optimism about what you could do. Again, I don't know if all it's going to work. You can look at the 6 years that Garland is signed for and say, like, you know, this is the current NBA that guys ask out and stuff, and you could say, like, none of this is guaranteed. And I would probably agree with that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, none of this is literally guaranteed, but, like, you're operating from a position where you have Garland, Mobley, and Allen under contract for, like, at the minimum, all of them are signed together for the next 4 years, and Garland is out for 6, and Mobley is probably going to be longer than that as long as you don't kind of mess that up and or he doesn't develop for whatever reason. Yeah. But, like, you're at such a good position here to do something and build something that, like, you have to, if you're Cleveland, you are absolutely pumping your fist about, like, the setup you now have to work for.
You said it yourself. They have Darius Garland under the contract for the next 5 years, starting not this season, but next season. You have Jared Allen under contract.
Yeah.
You have
It's 6 years under contract overall.
Yeah, and then you have Evan Mobley coming down the line, and hopefully you extend him as well. But, like, the Cavs are in such a rock-solid place, and like I said, having those three under contract and making those three your priority is the way to go about this. It's what we've been saying for a while now, and it's interesting to watch how they build around this team further. I think they're doing a pretty all right job so far. It depends on how Agbaji looks this season to kind of get a full scope of maybe, like, cheaper depth pieces for them. But it's a good place for the Cavs to be in. And I think organically growing into a playoff, consistent playoff team is a good way to go about this.
Yeah. All right. That's going to be it tomorrow. We're going to dive into some of the other things the Cavs have done, including bringing back Ricky Rubio, signing Raul Neto, and signing Robin Lopez, and also what that kind of sets up as far as a development plan, at least the Robin Lopez and Isaiah Mobley. If at all, tune in for that then. If you want a good second listen today, check out the Locked On NBA podcast. It's your daily dive into the NBA in under 30 minutes or less. If you want to check out the show from Tuesday, for instance, David Ramil and Tony East talked about the winners, losers of free agency. They talked about Colin Sexton as one of the best available players still left on the market. I hope you tuned in for that. Tune in for us tomorrow as well. Hit subscribe on YouTube if you haven't already. Until then, I'm Chris. That's Evan. Be well.